This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442 for the Canadian office and offices overseas. Listen at the end of the message, please, to visit our websites. They are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org.
Trials and troubles you may be going through, remember God loves you. And all of those are too long, so I'll have to shorten it up for the sake of the labels, because to have a three-line title just takes up too much time to do all the labels on the tapes. Well, let's begin with the survey of the world where we are. Let's go to Matthew 24, and let's understand what Jesus told us about the world, and it is a difficult place to live in. And I think that we're going to find that increasingly it's going to be a far more difficult place to live in. Okay, now here in Matthew 24, it shows how tough the world is going to be. And of course, verse 4 says, take heed that no man deceive you. And so right now, for the next couple of months, we're going to be in the middle of defending the truth in the Bible, because there are people out there deceiving others with their various false doctrines. Okay? But it says there are going to be wars and rumors of wars. That's what the paper says exactly there. Don't be troubled, because these things are going to come to pass. Nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famine, pestilence, earthquakes in different places. And they're trying to predict the earthquakes now, etc., etc. These are the beginning of sorrows. So the question is, how can a Christian living in sorrows increase in faith? Or put it another way, when the whole stinking rotten world and everybody is against you, it seems, how do you get along in this world? Now, you felt that, I felt that, I've gone through the whole thing of many different things, some of which I will discuss with you and some of which I won't discuss with you, because God doesn't necessarily tell us that we have to share our whole lives with each other to the point that, and I think that becomes wrong, that everybody's privy to everything in your life, and then you start judging that person's life or their performance or whatever, and that's not correct either. Okay. So it gets really bad here. It says, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. That time's coming. You'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. That time is already growing and growing and growing. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. In another place it says the father is going to betray the son, the daughter, the mother, the mother-in-law, and the foes, it's back in Matthew 10:37, and the enemies that you're going to face are those of your own household. And that's pretty tough. When even those in your own household are your enemies. Now, I've experienced that too. And it's difficult. All right? So what do we do now? We throw in the towel because it's tough. Look. Hey, the church back there of Smyrna, the church of Smyrna, they were destined to be killed. And yet God commended them because of their spiritual ability. So we need to really understand how we can hold on in times which are like this, because they're going to get more difficult. And I see somewhere down the road, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, when all of the international bankers controlled by Satan the devil are going to call the debt on the nation, and we're going to be bankrupt, and we will go down the tubes just like the Soviet Union. That day is going to come. There is no getting around it. And we can't run out and stop it and change it, and we can't necessarily change our own particular situation so that we can necessarily survive in it. Okay, we have to trust in God and have faith. Okay, then it says, and many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. So it's an ongoing thing. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. And we've covered this before. How many times in our lifetime in the church have we read these scriptures? and have heard sermons based upon these? Many times. How many times as a minister have I done it? Many times. It says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And it talks about the gospel being preached in all the world, then the end shall come. So sometimes you feel like you're kind of like this little old lonely cow stuck in the flood. You know, you're out there minding your own stupid business with all the other cows munching grass. You know, and in the morning and in the afternoon, between munching grass and being milked in the evening, you chew your cud three times a day, you lie down, and everything is nice, and you chew your cud. And then everything then begins to be disturbed, because here comes the rain. And now there becomes the flood. And so you find higher and higher and higher and higher and higher ground. And sometimes you feel like this little old cow that was stuck out there when the flood came down in Texas. Sometimes you have flash floods, like down in Texas. And wham, everything is wiped out. So here's this cow standing on this hunk of, it was like a mound of dirt, you see. And here's this cow right up on top of this, looking around, dripping wet, soaking in the rain that is coming down. The water is rising higher and higher, and the water is running down in the stream, eroding the dirt around you. And you're looking at all of this and you wonder, when am I going into the drink? Now, there are going to be times when you feel exactly like that. I have felt that way. Okay? Let's look at a couple of scriptures here to help us out. Let's go to Isaiah, the 41st chapter. Isaiah, the 41st chapter. So if we could say this, in spite of everything, remember God loves you. And in spite of everything, remember God is going to save you. Maybe not in the time or in the way that God, that you necessarily feel that God should do it for you, but in a way, in a time that God is going to do it the way that he is going to do it. Verse 10, Isaiah 41. Fear not, for I am with you. Let me read that again. Fear not, for I am with you. You can tie that right in with Hebrews 13, where God said, I will not ever forsake you or leave you. And that's an important thing to remember. Because when you're living in the sorrows of this world, and living in this world where iniquity is growing, abounding, and abounding means it's multiplying, it's increasing, and it sure is, so much that it's almost incomprehensible for me to grasp how that. So many people are so fed up with so many things in this world, but they come back to the trough again, like hogs addicted to alcoholic slop, and they just gobble it up. So remember, fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, or don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. God will help us. Regardless of the circumstances, and in order for the help to come, it may get worse in the short run rather than better. Yea, I will uphold you with my right hand, with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against you shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with you shall perish. Now, I've seen that. I've kept sort of a mental running tab on all of those that got after us when we had the separation with biblical, and it's a true thing that's actually happening to them. becoming ashamed and confounded and buried in false doctrine and deception and the things that are taking place, and that's just a natural occurrence. And for me to say that is not for me to get up and brag and say God has done that to them because of what they did to me. No, God does that to everyone who does that to people who are trying to serve and love God in spite of their mistakes, you see. So you understand that? I remember when, going way back when Robert Armstrong would get up there and say, yeah, and all those people that were against me, they were struck down with cancer. And he would rejoice in that. No, you don't rejoice in that. You just say, God is right and God is true and God will take care of it. But you don't rejoice in their demise, you see, because it may happen to you. God is very just that way. God says when your enemy is down and I'm dealing against your enemy, don't stand there and rejoice. Because God says even he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Okay? You shall seek them and shall not find them. Even them that contended with you, they that war against you shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught, as if it never existed. For I am the Lord your God, I the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, you worm, Jacob, and you men of Israel, I will help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. So notice how low they got before they had the help. Felt like a worm. Felt miserable. And I think if you let the peaceable fruits of righteousness work in you when those times come, that you are going to find that God will help you. And you will find that God's help will be better and greater in the long run when it comes. Okay? Let's go to Psalm 57. Psalm 57. This is a very good psalm to go through. Many of these are. And it gives us what we need to do, how we need to do it, and the approach that we need to have to God. You know, sometimes we're fighting the battle so hard, or we're fighting something so hard ourselves, but we forget to stop and ask God to intervene for us. In other words, we've worked at it so hard, we've exhausted everything we can do, and we haven't asked God what he can do. And you know, lots of times when we get to that point and we just say, God, you know, I've done everything I can do, you know, is you show me what to do. And then you finally get the right point. Okay? That doesn't necessarily mean that is the solution, but it may be the beginning of it. Verse 1 Psalm 56, beg your pardon. Psalm 56, not 57. It's Psalm 57. Put that in there too, because that follows right along with Psalm 56, but we can't go through all of them, so let's go here. Psalm 56. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. I didn't know they had freeways back then. I'm saying that in jest, but you know, when you drive on these freeways, you feel you're oppressed by the time you get home. Okay? But like what I mentioned to you about that situation on that commission payment. By the time I got done talking to some of those stupid bureaucrats, I felt oppressed. Okay? Verse 2. My enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O you Most High, what time I am afraid, at what time or in the time that I am afraid, I will trust in you. Remember, when all else fails, God loves you. In God I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Now I am sure, brethren, that these are some of the prophetic words of the thoughts of Jesus. When you put it in the context of what Jesus went through during his ministry, this is a word for word, verbatim situation that Jesus went through. You know, sometimes when we read the Gospels and so forth, we get inspired and we see what Jesus did and how he did it and so forth. You know, the thought occurs sometimes that, you know, Jesus was, he had everything nice and pleasant. No, he had it tough and miserable and wretched every day. Okay? Verse 5 now. Every day they rest, or that is, twist my words, and all their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together, they hide themselves, they mark out my steps when they wait for my soul. Yes, a tremendous prophecy of the thoughts of Jesus and what he had to go through. Shall they escape by iniquity? In your anger, cast down the people, O God. You know my wanderings, and you put my tears in a bottle. Are they not in your book? And when I cry unto you, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. Now let's go to Psalm 58. Psalm 58. Do you indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do you judge uprightly, O ye sons of men? Yea, in heart you work wickedness. You weigh the violence of your hands in the earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. And this is the generation we are dealing with. This is the thing we have to function in the world concerning. I mean, now they lay out the statistics of those who are killed by gang wars in Los Angeles as if you're just reading a recipe. It's insane. Just yesterday, a 5-year-old kid was out playing in the front yard, shot dead because of a gang war. I mean, what can you do? So now they are actually selling bulletproof clothes to parents who live in those areas. Did you see that on TV? Selling bulletproof clothes for kids. Rather than stand up there and go after these people, you know, the way Christ would do it, he would gun them down. They either put down their weapons and repent and crawl in absolute humility and abject submission, or they're dead. Wouldn't put up with any of this nonsense going on, because it's just this way. As soon as they are born, because the world is so evil. Talks about how they are. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stops her ears, which will not listen to the voice of the charmer, charming never so wisely. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth, and break out the great teeth of the young lions, and let them melt away as water which runs continually when he bends his bow to shoot his arrows, let them be cut in pieces. And so God is going to take care of it, but in his time. And we are living in the age when God is going to store up all of this for the return of Christ, and the final judgment is going to come. Now let's go to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. And this again gives us the kind of attitude and the kind of trust that we need with God, and where we need to put our heart and our mind. Okay? Psalm 62 and verse 1. Truly my soul waits upon God. From him comes my salvation. Comes from God. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. Because of that, sometimes you may offend people in the world. There isn't anything you can do to get around it. And it's like I explained about my little incursion with these people about the truth. You know, should we teach our children the truth? Oh, yes. You know, the actual fact of the matter is people do not want the truth. They want to hear what they want to hear. They don't want the truth. But in that, you have to wait for God's defense. And I will not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? How long shall be slain all of you? As a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. And boy, nothing could be further from the truth than that in today's world. Boy, and human nature hasn't changed. That's the way it was back in David's day, too. My soul waits. Wait you only upon God. I'm going to underline only here, because that's the very key. It is only God. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Now let's just mark down here Matthew, the 7th chapter, and let's turn there and come back. Because when it says that God is our rock, we know that's talking of Christ. And that rock that followed them was Christ. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4. But here in Matthew 7, Jesus gives us an indication of what's going to happen when God is our rock. It doesn't mean that everything's going to go smooth and nice and easy. Now, I saw, when was it? It was the other night. I think they run it two nights this week. But it was on TBN. Or is it Eagles Dare to Nest? To fly, that was it, where eagles dare to fly. Very good movie, very intriguing. But they had this huge cliff, and up on top of it was this fortress. The only way you could get in was through this, what do they call these, cable chairs or cars, the trams. Yeah, they had the trams going up there. And when you think of a rock, too many times you think of something like that, that you're up, you're out of it, nothing is going to bother you, and you can control everything that comes to you and from you. But that's not the way it's described here in Matthew 7 and verse 24. Okay? It's described a little differently. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever shall hear these sayings of mine and does them, notice in the King James doeth, and that means practices them, I will liken unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock, or a rock in this particular case. And we find back in Psalms here that the Lord, he only is my rock, okay? Now notice what happened. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and you didn't have to be like that cow standing on that piece of dirt, watching it being washed away all around you, wondering when you're going to slide into the flood and die. The rains descended, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not. Now this is telling us what? Well, we're going to go through trials. There's like the rain beating down upon us, the flood coming after us, and who sends the flood? Satan. Revelation 12 and verse about 14, that Satan sent a flood after the woman, right? Okay, this shows satanic activity in our lives. And the winds blew. It's like in Job, a whirlwind came and took them away and beat upon that house. Now, there are going to be times when the world around you feel like it's beating on you. You know? I felt that. I felt that way. There are times when I just feel as though I've been beaten up by the things in the world, by the people in the world, by the circumstances in my life, by the difficulties in my own family, and by people that come to me with their problems. Feel like you're beaten up. But it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. So if you're founded on that rock, which is Christ, remember, when all else fails, God loves you. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does not practice them is likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Just like that cow out there during the flood. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Let's go back to Psalm 62. Verse 6, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Now notice how to call upon that. Verse 8, trust in Him when? At all times. Not just when the going is good, or not just when the going is bad, but at all times. You people, pour out your heart before Him. So you have to take it to God in prayer. And there are times when He lets you go through just downright misery. You don't think it any strange thing? It can happen. But God is there. He will help you. He will hold your right hand. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Verse 9. Then you look at the world and you see, surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. Oh, how true. Try to help the homeless is a farce. Now, those who are truly homeless and need help, that's fine. Did you hear about what happened to this one family? Somewhere back in the Midwest, this family said, well, we're homeless. We don't have a job. We have no place to live. And our children are hungry and suffering and without clothes. So the whole town was was in a small town. And they decided, we're going to help these homeless people. So they did. They got them a job. They got them social welfare assistance. They got food for them. They got them a place to live. They got clothing for their children. They put them in school. And it lasted 2 months until the social welfare ran out. And then he quit his job and she quit her job and they left him. So men of low degree are vanity. That's true. We're all vanity, all people. Here, let's go to Psalm 39. Psalm 39. Quite a psalm. Psalm 39 and verse 4 says, Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. That was not in one of his more humble times, but getting there, okay? Don't worry, you're frail. Went down to L.A. and found out how frail, you know, and how quickly it can happen. In the motel I was staying in, they had a tub with a shower, and then they have built in these non-skid things in the tub. And so I took a shower, and I forgot to bring the shampoo. So I thought, well, I'll step out and get the shampoo, and bam! It's like that. I slipped instantly. Didn't have even a split second to try and catch myself. And I landed on... Sorry, hit the microphone there. That was for sound effects. No, I'm just kidding. I landed on my shoulder, and my big toe of my left foot and the big toe of my right foot was just not quite well yet. It's well now. And so it hit that big old heavy nozzle that comes out of the wall real hard. So there I am, and it really hurt. And now I know why people can slip in showers and break their necks and drown and all that sort of stuff, because it happens so fast. You don't have a ghost of a chance. Believe me, next time, rubber mat on the tub floor, boy, believe me. And when I'm going to take everything in with me, and I'm going to have a towel right there, so if I have to do anything, that I can dry off what I need to dry off, and I'm going to make sure that I'm standing upright, and before I take the weight off of one foot, I'm going to make sure that I have the other foot safely down. But I didn't notice it right at first. There was nothing wrong with my elbow. My toe swelled up, and it was black and blue as can be, and then my shoulder got all black and blue and painful. Oh, man, you know, and I knew at that point, you're frail, you're stupid, you know, idiot. You ever do that, talk to yourself like that? Yeah. I looked in the mirror and I said, oh, I'm dumb, you know. I could have broken my neck, you know, bashed out the side of my head or anything, you see. And then kids get all upset when mothers say, watch out, be careful, you don't slip and fall, Johnny. And they get, oh, man. Okay, so much for that. Then I may know how frail I am. Okay? You're frail. We've all had something happen to us, so we know how frail we are somewhere along the line, right? Right. Okay? Behold, you made my days as a hand's breadth. Not too big a deal, right? And my age is as nothing before you. Verily, or truly, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. And that means meditate and think on that, folks. Verse 6, surely every man walks in a vain show, surely they are disquieted in vanity. He heaps up riches, or he heaps up, it's not riches, because that's in italic. It means he swells himself up, not heaps up riches, and knows not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions and make me not the reproach of the foolish. Okay, so when you get down and out and you feel like that, you feel you've had it, you know, don't worry. God is there. He will help you. Now let's go to John the 14th chapter. John 14. Because I tell you what, we can only take so much of being beaten up. We can only take so much of being assaulted by Satan. We can only take so much of those kinds of things, and that's why I finished the series down there in Los Angeles rather than coming back here. You can listen to the tapes on it. Because we can just go so long until we need some real good encouragement from God's Word. So let's get the encouragement from God's Word and see how that help comes and see how it's going to be and see and remember that when all else fails, remember God loves you and how much He loves you. That is, in spite of your weakness, in spite of your vanity, in spite of your own self-deception, in spite of your sins, if I could put it that way, without saying that you take advantage of grace, because that's not what I'm intending. But God knows. Okay? He didn't call us because we were perfect, and He didn't call us because we could become perfect by our own works. Okay? That's just the way it is. But here is what is important. Let's go to verse 23, John 14. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. You need to know, even though the world hates you, and though you feel like everybody on earth hates you, and maybe you feel your husband hates you, your wife hates you, all your kids hate you, remember God loves you. Okay? You need to understand that. And I've gone through that too. Okay? And anyone who says, you know, have you ever had a good knockdown, drag-out fight with your wife? Or your husband? Does that mean God has rejected you? No, it means you had a fight. God still loves you, in spite of that, but maybe you've got some things you need to do. That's all. Okay? Does God allow you to have a knockdown, drag-out fight? Yeah, He'll allow you to have a knockdown, drag-out fight with your wife or your kids or whatever. Sometimes it's necessary. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes because of your own stupidity and weakness or your own temper or whatever. I've experienced that. But remember that if you love Christ and if you keep His words, the Father will love you. And His grace is great enough to see you through your difficulty. And we will come to Him and make our abode with Him. He who is not loving me is not keeping my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. Well, let's go to John 16. John 16 and verse 27. For the Father Himself is loving you. On an ongoing, active way. So regardless of what you have gone through, and there are a lot of people who listen to these sermon tapes who feel as though that God doesn't love them because they've been beaten up by a church. Or beaten up by a minister. Or they've gone through some terrible situations in their life. But remember, when all else fails you, and people will fail you. Because that's the nature of human nature. Okay? For the Father Himself loves you because you have loved me. And have believed that I came forth from God. Well, those are really tremendous, comforting scriptures. And these are the kind of scriptures that when you're down and you're out and you're discouraged, that you can go pray to God and open up the Bible and claim these promises, and God can heal you, and God can help you, and God can work with you, and God can uplift you from it. Because I'll tell you one thing, if we're going to share the same suffering that Jesus shared, which Paul said that he prayed for there in Philippians, the third chapter, that we are going to come to the very depths of despair, too, in our own lives. You cannot but help but go through it. And so don't feel as though that God has rejected you or turned you aside or cast you off, because he has not. The Father himself loves you because you love Jesus. Now, did God the Father love Jesus? Yes. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But what did Jesus go through? The very depths of despair and every miserable, rotten thing that possibly could be. All right. Let's come on down here to verse 32. "Behold, the hour is coming, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered." Now, maybe that will help answer the question that so many people ask. Why are there so many little groups? God said there would be. That's why. "Every man to his own, and you shall leave me alone, yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." And of course, that happened that very night. The very disciples had stood up and said, "Yes, Lord, this won't happen to you." Peter denied Jesus directly three times and even swore and cursed. But yet, what did he tell Peter? He said, "Peter," he said, "Satan has asked for you, but I have prayed for you that your faith be strengthened." Did he reject Peter? No. How did Peter feel? Miserable. Okay? "I've spoken these things to you that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Okay, let's go to 1 John 3. 1 John 3, in verse 1. "Remember, when all else fails, which it will, God still loves you." Verse 1. "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Remember that. You get discouraged and down, you turn to 1 John 3 and verse 1 and read it. Pray about it. Do it on your knees. "Therefore the world knows us not." The world doesn't understand us. Doesn't understand us. Why? Because it didn't know or understand Christ. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And there's nothing that can replace that. If you have that buried in your heart and mind and let it burn in your soul, there's nothing that can take that away from you. They can destroy you, they can kill you, they can do anything, whatever that happens to you, and they can't take that from you. Did you hear what all the homosexuals and the, remember I gave, read that report about the pagans going against the evangelical rally over there in San Francisco? You know what the homosexuals and pagans said? Said, "Bring on the lions, open the Colosseum. They need to be fed to the lions." You don't think that attitude is there? Ho, 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 ho. Yes, it is. But I'll tell you one thing. If you have this buried in your heart and mind, no one... Again, I was watching it so it wouldn't run to the end, but it ran to the end. So I guess I don't know why I watch it. Okay, verse 3. "And everyone that has his hope in him..." It's got to be in you. "Purifies himself even as he is pure." How does he do that? How does he do that? He overcomes the world. Okay. Let's go to 1 John 4. "Because you trust in the love of God." That's how you do it. That's how it's done, brethren. 1 John 4 and verse 19, "We love him," or that is God, "because he first loved us." And when did he first love us? And how did he first love us? We'll find out in a little bit. Let's go back to verse 5. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. It sure does. We are of God, and he that knows God hears us, and they that are not of God hears us not. Whereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, and we're going to have to come back here when we start dealing with some of these false doctrines. Because first of all, before we start dealing in them and going into them, what I'm going to do is go through and do a survey of the New Testament and show the forewarning of the different doctrines that would come. And they're all there, believe it or not. And what we'll be dealing with in every one of these things is no different than what has gone on from almost time immemorial, but because we haven't been exposed to all of those, therefore it seems new to us. Okay? Beloved, verse 7, let us love one another. And that's what we need to do in the church, brethren, wherever we are. As we've nicknamed our church here, the little no-hassle church, because we love each other. And part of that love is that we understand we may have problems and difficulties, but we don't go running, galloping around with a huge, great, giant mouth and the sledgehammer of self-righteousness and destroy each other. And it can be done. So we don't do it. And doesn't that make it a lot better with each other and the brethren? And I can see what one of the reasons why in church groups that there become cliques and there become groups that, you know, sort of get together. And that's because they're on the same gossip loop. And that's the worst thing that can ever take over a church. Okay? Because then people become busybodies in other people's business when maybe it's between God and the person. Pray for them rather than talk about them. And I'm not saying this because we have any gossip. I'm saying this because we don't have any. Okay? Then keep that in mind. Beloved, let us love one another, for God, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is begotten of God and knows God. And he that is loving not knows not God, for God is love. Remember, when all else fails, God loves you. That is the key and important thing to keep in mind. And in this is manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. When did he send him? We'll find out a little later. Not when we were perfect. Okay? And here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And that means a continuing, ongoing basis even now. Now let's come down here to verse 16. And we have known and have believed the love that God has to us. And do you know and believe that love that God has to us? And that's what we need to really capture, brethren. That's what we really need to hold on to. Otherwise, we'll end up just playing religion like everyone else and trying to be good people because they want to be good. And that's not all there is to life, and that's not the righteousness of God. You know, sometimes the greatest righteousness of God can be worked after you realize how miserable you are. Not how good you are. Okay? And we have known and believed the love that God has toward us. God is love, and he that is dwelling in love is dwelling in God, and God in him, and here is our love made perfect. You see? That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And we can have that. And judgment is now upon the house of God. We can have boldness toward God now. Because as he is, so are we in this world. And there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. because fear has torment, and he that fears is not made perfect in love. And that's what we need to have. And sometimes it's hard to do. Sometimes it's difficult to come by. You see? And sometimes you'll almost literally be spit in your face when you try and show it. But be of good cheer. God loves you in spite of everything. Okay? Let's go on. Let's go back to verse 4. And here is the key. Here is the very key. Verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. That is all the false prophets and false spirits in the world, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that is tremendous to know and understand. Christ is in you. And he's greater than anything that's in the world or anything that the world can do to you. Okay? Let's go to Ephesians, the second chapter. Then let's see this love in action in us, in spite of what we were, in spite of what we are. Now, why do I say that? Because only God can change us, you know that? Ephesians 2 and verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conduct in times past, and still have our troubles overcoming the flesh and overcoming the world and overcoming Satan, so forth. In times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, in spite of all else, know that God loves you. For his great love, wherewith he loved us. And you see, that's the most important thing for you to understand and realize. Okay, that God loves us. Even when we were dead in our sins. Now that's when God loved us, when we were dead in our sins. Okay? Has quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are you saved. And that is, having been saved from the world, having been saved from Satan. So now you're on that rock, and let the floods come and let the wind blow and let it beat against it, because you're on the rock and there isn't anything that's going to move you. Because by God's divine grace, you are saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, that's when we'll be there in those heavenly places, you see. But in effect, having God's Holy Spirit in us, as we see in the first chapter, that is the down payment, the earnest of that. So in a sense, then, we have those heavenly things that is God's Spirit in us. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that is having been saved, past tense, from Satan, from the world, from the prince of the power of the air. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That's why, in spite of yourself, in spite of anything that goes on in your life, God loves you. Remember, when all else fails, God loves you. Not of works, has to be of a broken heart and a contrite spirit, not of works. What can you do for God? Lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And so you can take cheer. You can be encouraged. You can be thankful. You can praise God. Well, let's go to Romans 8th chapter for just a minute. Romans 8 and verse 28. Very key, important verse. For we know something you have to know and comprehend. And sometimes it's difficult to do when you're going through it, okay? Romans 8 and verse 28. For we know that everything, so all things mean everything, works together for good. You might have to insert there, in the long run, after the raining, after the flooding, and after the beating, it works together for good to them that love God. And so in that raining and flooding and beating, then you determine whether you love God with all your heart and mind and soul and being. Okay? To them who are called according to his purpose. Now let's continue on, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, did he also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son? Great and fantastic destiny that God has for you. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren, that is the firstborn from among the dead, Colossians the first chapter, and moreover whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Not yet happened, but it's going to. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who or what can be against us? The answer is, brethren, nothing. Let's go to Romans 5. And let's see how this love of God to us works in us. Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. And that's a tremendous thing. That grace covers all. It covers the sins and problems and difficulties that you get into. And God can get you out of them. Obviously not the unpardonable sin. But I don't think anyone here is wanting to do that, do you? If they were, they wouldn't be here, correct? But I don't think anyone listening to the tapes is ready to do that. Because if you were, you wouldn't be listening to the tapes, correct? And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, and not only so, but we also glory in tribulations. And that's awfully hard to do, but looking back, you can. Also knowing that tribulation works patience or endurance. And endurance, experience. That's what we're going through, brethren. God is giving us experience. That is what is so important. And sometimes we don't like the experiences. I look back and see some of the things I've gone through. I didn't like them at all, but I can look back and say now that those were exactly what God wanted me to go through. Because I've learned by experience. Now, in that experience, and you also, by your experience and the things you've gone through, you can talk to people not from a point of view that it's academic in the head. Okay? You can talk to them from the heart because you've experienced it. And that means a whole lot more. And that experience then produces hope. Because when all else fails, remember God loves you, and that's what gives you hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God, or God's love, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us, because God loves you. And when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And the word there, in due time, it means at the set time or at the ordained time. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now that's how much God loves you, and even not only while we were yet sinners, but before we were even born, you see, Christ died for us. Now, God doesn't have any pleasure in sin. Let's go back to Genesis, the first chapter. Not the first chapter, but the sixth chapter, beg your pardon. First book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 6. All right. Genesis 6. And even when it got so bad that God said, I'm going to destroy all flesh with the flood. Okay, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And it's that way today. It is terrible. You know, I'm sure the time is going to come when, you know, the time has already come. There are times when I feel like just taking a 45, gun to the TV. Since I don't want to pay for that, and my wife would not put up with it, and my kids would be enraged, I use the channel switcher and the mute. And that takes care of it. Okay? But it is compounded, it is multiplied, it is expanded through all the media and the education and everything as never before. We are almost right here at this same point today. Remember Jesus said, as it was in the days before the flood, the days of Noah? Here it is, right here. Okay? The wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Continuously. Now, how did God feel about this? And it repented God that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him and his heart. And yet, in spite of all that, God still loved the world. And he loved it enough to save it through Noah and his family. And he loved it enough to promise never to flood it again. So remember, when all else fails, God loves you. Now, let's go back to 1 John, the 5th chapter. And this becomes important for us to understand. Because we can't overcome at all, brethren. We can. And that's the important thing. We can overcome it all. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some dedication. It'll take some suffering. It'll take some agony. It'll take pulling heartstrings. It'll pulling emotions and the whole thing. You know, but in the final analysis, we can overcome it all. Without a doubt. Because God is God. And God is for us. And God will help us. And God will be with us. Okay? Let's pick it up here in 1 John 5, and let's pick it up in verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And that's what we're trying to do. That's the whole reason why we're here. You know, I'll just have to say here, if anyone preaches or goes to church for any other reason, they're only kidding themselves, and God knows it. Doesn't God know all the thoughts, you know, of every heart? Sure he does. Sure he does. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous or burdensome. What does God ever ask you to do that's real burdensome? Not a single solitary thing. Whatever God has asked us to do is for our own good. Now verse 4, and whosoever is begotten of God overcomes the world. Now you notice in the King James ETH, whosoever is begotten of God is overcoming the world. We are overcoming it. We have to fight it. We have to be against it, you know, and all that sort of thing. But we are overcoming the world. Okay? And this is the victory, which is a result of overcoming, that is overcoming the world, even our faith. And our faith becomes stronger when we love God. And our faith becomes stronger when we know that God loves us. And when we understand, in spite of everything, your own sins and your own circumstances and your own difficulties, that God still loves you, then you can have even more faith. Isn't that so? You may have to go off to a private place or climb atop of a hill or go someplace alone and pour out your heart before God, as it says there in Psalm 82, or 62 rather, and let the tears flow and let everything, every emotion in you. Remember, you started out that you love God and God loves you. And then you can have more faith. You can overcome the world. Who is the one who is overcoming the world? But he that is believing that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the one. And of course, again, on an ongoing, believing, overcoming basis. Now, what if Satan is right there at the very throne of God? And he is there, Revelation 12. He's right there, verse 10, I'll just refer to it. Satan is there before the throne of God, accusing us day and night, saying, see, see, look at that, look at there, look at there, look at that, look at this. God, how dare you put up with those people? But through Jesus Christ and the grace of God, God sees you as his sons and his daughters, and in his family, and glorified with him. And there is no problem that cannot be overcome. But here's how you overcome, verse 11. And they overcame him and his accusations day and night, by the blood of the Lamb, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and by the word of their testimony, because of what you speak and believe. And they love not their lives unto death, because they love God with all their heart and mind and soul and being and strength. And that's why, and that's how, and that's the way it needs to be. Now, let's go to Ephesians. Book of Ephesians, the third chapter. And this chapter is what I call the lifting up of the feeble hands. You know, of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Lift up the feeble hands. Okay, because of what you go through. Okay, let's pick it up here in verse 4. Whereby when you read, that is, read this epistle, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ. And it certainly is a tremendous mystery, isn't it? That God could love us before we were even born. That God could love us while we were yet in our sins. That God can love us even though Satan accuses us day and night. that God loves us in spite of all of our mistakes and difficulties that we go through? That is a mystery. Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. Now, aren't you glad you were born after Christ? And aren't you glad that God called you? What would you do if you were in some of these past civilizations which didn't know, which God didn't reveal? It wasn't made known to the sons of men as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And remember, it says in John 16 that the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth and will reveal things to come. And part of that is drinking out of the Word of God all that God inspired and put in there by his Holy Spirit. That the Gentiles should be made fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace, the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. You know, no minister knows anything but by the grace of God. No minister can preach but by the grace of God if he can truly preach. So that means that the minister is nothing more than what God wants him to be, to preach his word. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God. That's quite a thing. You know, if you want to have hope in God, remember that he's revealed the greatest secret in the world to you and to those that he has called. And that it was hid from the beginning of the world until the preaching of the gospel. Which has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God has that purpose for you, and that calling for you, and that love for you, and a place in his kingdom which he's already reserved for you. Which Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations which are for you, which is for your glory. And you read some of the things that Paul went through, and you would think, looking at it strictly from a human perspective, that God was against him. But God wasn't. God was with Paul in the deep. God was with Paul when he was being stoned. God was with Paul when he was beaten 5 times, 39 stripes. And I bet his back was sore. And I bet he had scars. And God was with him and loved him in spite of the fact that he didn't heal him of his eye affliction. And God loved him even though the brethren turned against him. So in spite of it all, remember that God loves you. So if you have difficulties or tribulations, don't faint at them, even though they're faintable. Don't give up because of them. Ask God to help you see the solution. He will. And for this cause, the purpose of God, what God has done, and he loves us in spite of everything, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. The very glory of God, all the wealth and power of the universe and the glory of God to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that you have that conviction and love, that in spite of everything, you know God loves you. In spite of everything, you know that God is right. And that you have the experience and the patience and let God's Spirit work in you. And verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And that you are being rooted and grounded in love. And again, this love works both ways, from God to you and from you back to God, and you being rooted and grounded in that, on that rock, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints. Now, this is what we need to grow into, brethren. This is what I hope we can grow into in these next few months. Grow a little more in it. Again this year, learn more of God's plan. Learn more of God's way. Learn more of God's love. Learn more of God's faith and hope for us. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height of the very purpose of God, which is revealed by God with his Spirit. As we're strengthened with might, with the very power of God, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. You cannot know the love of Christ when compared to knowledge. That you know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's a tremendous and wonderful thing to contemplate and understand. And that's why I say that this part is the pick up your feeble hands and strengthen the feeble knees and lift up your heart and mind and attitude, because God still loves you. In spite of everything. And verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So remember, when all else fails, God loves you.
The overseas offices are Canada, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, Postal Code K6V5V2. For Australia, Biblical Truth Ministries, GPO Box 1574, Sydney, 2001. New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihi, Waihi, 2981. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Wilrow, Wilro, Park, Postal Code 1731. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Witham, Postal Code CM81WZ, United Kingdom.